This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended Constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And today my guest is Daily Stormer journalist Eric Stryker. Eric, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Dr. Slattery, and how are you today?
I'm fine. And we've got a lot to talk about today. There's a lot going on. Did you know that Russia is such an evil country that's trying to destroy our democracy by electing Donald Trump as president? Also, we live in this vibrant and enriched multicultural country, and Google reflects that. Every day Google has a slightly different cartoon on its homepage, right? Mm-hmm. Slightly different, and you sent me one. Would you like to describe it?
Yeah, well, Google Doodle is more or less a sort of political meme, just like the kids are going on Facebook posting the merchant and all the Jewish memes and the black-on-white crime memes and all that. The Jews have been memeing since the Second World War with the advent of advertisement. And this sort of political memeing and social engineering is called the Google Doodle, the most popular search engine on Earth. Every time you go on it, they have a new political message for you, usually in a stylized form. This year, they had a competition with selected students to draw a Google Doodle to be featured yesterday, March 31st. And this one was, safe to say, pretty obvious in its political intent. Now, what is pictured is a unrealistic group of friends, like the ones you see in the movies, where there's like one of every race that you never see in real life. And so you got this weird group of people, and you got a gay guy, a blonde gay guy, some Muslim person hugging a Jew, who of course is at the center of the group of friends. And she's hugging some racially ambiguous and gender ambiguous individual. and that person is hugging a white Christian woman who is wearing a miniskirt. And that's a subtle contradiction.
Kind of like a Catholic schoolgirl from a porno movie.
Oh, well, you see, if you go to Catholic school, the nuns make you wear the skirt beneath your knees. Hers is way above the knees, but she's still a Christian. Mm-hmm. And not just that, she's hugging Black Einstein, E equals my dick. And he's being patted on the shoulder by an old white guy. You go, son!
Yeah, you go replace me. You go replace me.
Oh, have my daughter, my boy! She needs a smart black man like you to pleasure her in ways us white men can never. And that's the beauty of Google Doodle. And the thing is, I actually looked at the finalists and contestants of this Google Doodle competition. And I have to say, there were some really cool and good and objectively beautiful pieces of art that were submitted by students from all over the country, high school students. There was one where they're in outer space, and there's one with really creative and cool ideas from kids. None of them made the final cut. The ones that got to the end were all drawings and pieces of art that privileged political idea or the political agenda over the actual artistic merit. I mean, there's really nothing inspiring or beautiful about this picture. It's the merit of the ideology, how it reaffirms it, a sort of, one could say, socialist realism, but not quite socialist realism, because the Soviet art was actually pretty good and it followed classical aesthetics. This is something even worse. This is something that is made for mass consumption and is obviously an attack on the president, which the Jews at Google have been very adamant against. And so the guy who leads the Google Doodle team, he answers directly to Sergey Brin and the other Jews at the top. He is not a Jew, to my knowledge. He could be. His name is Ryan Germick. And while possibly having his foreskin intact, he is some kind of infantile weirdo who, when you Google him, Google the Google man, it's a picture of him holding a My Little Pony. Now, this is a man in his 30s. Pictures of him acting like a child and being very infantile, drawing all kinds of fairies and stuff. Like, you know, this is obviously some kind of child molester. There's something wrong with him, okay? But, you know, these are the people. These are the avant-garde of our culture. This is why there's no good art. There's no good movies anymore. These are the people that get the last say. They green light on behalf of the Jews that hire them. They're selected from the population for their warped, minoritarian, and out-of-touch vision of the world, which is why all the great doodles were passed up, while this one, which was done by a lesbian high school student in Connecticut, this one gets to be on the front page of the world's largest search engine.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
So they all have something written on their shirts, or most of them do. They're flanked at one end by that old man with the cane and the paraplegic on the other side. It is a piece of work. What's the symbolism here? So you do have, I guess, three identifiable white men. None of them are going to reproduce. The one is old, too old. He's going to be just replaced. He's going to die off. And then the other's a paraplegic. And then the gay guy. So then you've got Black Einstein, who I guess has his pick of, he's got his arm around the Catholic high school girl in trouble.
He's uncontested.
He's uncontested.
In fact, he has his own elderly white male cheerleader. The body language in the picture where the old man is standing behind him, patting him on the back, what's that tell you?
Right. And then in the background, there are shadow figures of hand pantomimes. And there's two hands coming up forming a heart. I guess there's a couple of peace signs. And then there's, I guess, what could only be described as either satanic or gang symbols, don't you think?
Well, you know, if David Icke saw that, he'd be like, I knew it. It's the Illuminatis that control the Jews.
It is the Illuminati. But now, we're talking about this, and it might seem kind of petty and silly. Oh, by the way, the symbols on their shirt are very, very similar to what you see on those coexist bumper stickers that you see around. Yeah. The crescent and star and the Star of David and then the cross. This E, I guess, is E equals MC squared because very dark skin blacks, the darker your skin is, obviously, the better you are at physics. Goes without saying. Of course, they had to incorporate transsexualism. So gayness isn't enough now. Gayness is yesterday's news. In fact, a lot of gays are derided as being cis because a gay man who identifies as a gay man is cis. He's not trans. So he's yesterday's news, and in many cases, they're in the way. This might seem really petty for us to be talking about, but turn on your TV and watch advertisements, right? Look at billboards along the highway. I even saw some sort of, I don't know if it was a Christian dating site or some sort of Christian site with, you know, the happy family, but the happy family was a black man and a white woman and their mixed-race kids. So it's everywhere. It's being pushed, and of course, society really, well, I saw recently, I guess this is very common on the internet, very viral on the internet, maybe you've seen it, when a couple of years ago, there was this man, his last name was Castro, he was in Cleveland, and he had been keeping three girls, who I guess became women, in his basement for 10 years or something. Do you remember that case?
It happens so often that I get them confused.
Well, this was in Cleveland. You know, it was in a inner-city neighborhood, and the local TV reporters were interviewing this 50-some-year-old black man who was the person who discovered what was going on. One of the women had managed to get to the front door, I guess, with some infant the kidnapper had fathered.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Screaming for help, and the black man came up, and so he was the first person to help, and then the police were called, and the crime was solved. Roll the clip.
So what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time.
Either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
That just don't happen. But that's what they're trying to make happen.
Exactly. I mean, the whole thing about memes, I've said this before. I never personally, for years, I've seen the Pepe Frog and all that. I always thought it was kind of dumb. But we could say that we're petty for making a big deal about this, but looking at how the Anti-Defamation League staked out its own credibility to try and convince the people of America that a cartoon frog is the same as a swastika, that goes to show you that the Jews themselves know what we're doing because they're doing it themselves. They were the inventors of the meme. They were the ones that began this process of barding your mind with images and ideas until they take to them, until life imitates art.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the main issue with these Google Doodles that billions of people will see when they go on Google. They'll see it multiple times because everyone uses Google more than once a day. And you're going to see this very bold and brazen image. And it's always the same. It's never a black woman with a white man or a Asian man with a Indian woman. You know, because there's all kinds of interracial couples, and a lot of them are more common. For example, white man, Asian woman, that's a more common interracial couple than black man and white woman. And yet, where do you see it portrayed? Not really, because that's not what the agenda wants, because that shows the white as the masculine and virile one.
Mm-hmm.
They want to show the white as the pathetic, begging, beta boy, cuck boy, that kind of stuff. That's a sort of psychological demoralization. And as for the other messages of transgenderism, homosexual, how many of these people are there? If you get every freaky sexual deviant together, it's still probably no more than 4 or 5% of the American population. And in this country, it's abnormally high. If you go to other countries, it probably doesn't even break 1%. And yet, they act like there's just as many transgenders as there are Christians, as there are whites, as there are all these other groups. And so this is really nefarious because it has an effect, these memes, because when they ask and they poll the public about what they think or perceive the number of homosexuals are in America, a lot of people say, oh, they must be 20-30% of the population. So these memes work.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to talk about them and expose them and the Jews behind them and the agenda behind them.
Right. So, I mean, what you said is important. So Mark Dice has gone out onto, I guess he's in California, and he goes out onto the boardwalk and interviews people and asks questions exactly like that. What's the percentage of gays? And people will say 20 or 30%. Lots of people do. I'm sure there are lots of people who know that it's not nearly so common.
The idea is that they overrepresent them in order to create the false perception that they're more common than they actually are. And for some marginal types, people on the border, seeing that there's more people like them is enough to push them over the edge and join that club. And that's how they meme these things into existence. This whole transgender crap is bombarding us left and right. There's reality TV shows, pop songs, movies, all of it romanticizing a quite unremarkable and unromantic lifestyle, which is, I've said this before, the average transsexual lives till age 45 and dies as a man wearing women's clothing, overdosed in the corner of a gay nightclub, and it's not very desirable of an outcome or a lifestyle. And yet Jews pretend different. They meme it into existence to ruin lives.
Yeah, that was the other thing that you said, that there is this Jewish agenda behind it. So I think you've written about this. Do you have figures for various health hazards or increased likelihoods of venereal diseases or depression or suicide among gay people?
Well, the thing with gays, they're basically dozens to hundreds of times more likely to catch everything from hep C to HIV.
And particularly male homosexuals.
That's true. Right. However, female homosexuals have a plethora of psychological problems, domestic abuse. Lesbian couples are actually who adopt girls. They're more likely to sexually abuse them. A lot of children, this was in the Family Research Council, which was an objective study done by academics, where they found that girls that were raised in same-sex parent households were multiple times more likely to be molested than children raised in normal households. You know, this is a sick lifestyle full of sick people that don't care about themselves, don't care about their children, and definitely don't care about you. They're in there as hedonists with psychological issues, and instead of helping them, Jews are enabling them. Imagine if they did that with schizophrenics. Imagine if they did that with psychopaths or serial killers or any other mentally disturbed type of person.
Yeah, so there's the issue. I've talked about this on the David Duke show before, and it's very difficult to make any analogies with homosexuals because somebody's going to get offended, whether it's the homosexual or whomever they're being compared to. But I did the comparison with diabetes. You have type 1 diabetes and you have type 2 diabetes. And type 1 is typically childhood onset, and it has to do with genetics. It doesn't have to do with lifestyle, more or less just your luck of the draw or your bad luck of the draw. And then type 2 diabetes is developed later, and it's a lifestyle disease, typically because of bad eating habits. And I think that there's probably a type 1 and type 2 homosexuality. And type 1 homosexuality, I mean, there are just people that, they're not that common, but there are just some people who, from the time they're toddlers, it starts to get kind of obvious, and throughout childhood, it's pretty obvious that there's not much of a chance this person's going to come out straight. There are some people like that.
I agree with you, but you can't also underestimate the power of a centrifugal media force that is promoting this in every avenue, in all the schools, in all the universities, in all the TV shows, in the Beauty and the Beast,
right,
in the Power Rangers, in all this child-oriented media. They're bombarding our kids. You know, you turn on the Disney Channel, every show has a queer character now. So,
really?
Yeah, I mean, they had a few new shows where they had a couple where there's a scene where
are they adult, the kids are adult homosexuals or adolescent homosexuals?
Adolescent and child homosexuals. There's a scene, I believe it was, I forgot the name of the cartoon, but it was a bunch of kids, they're kissing at a prom or something like that, and they show a bunch of same-sex couples making out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's normal, like it's like fish swimming in water.
Yeah.
But you can't underestimate the power of that, because think of fashion for a second. You see some of the dumbest fashions. They come and they go. Everything from, I think bomber jackets are in now. Now, this was a typical of skinheads for years, that they wore bomber jacket. I used to wear a bomber jacket. Now I'm seeing hipsters and cool people and trendies and liberals wearing bomber jackets. You know, how did they make it catch on? Well, a famous person went out wearing a bomber jacket. Some Jews started promoting it as cool. And a lot of people that are predisposed to that herd mentality are very suggestible, particularly women, they followed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the power. The people you see in bomber jackets on the street, the fashionable and the cool on Fifth Avenue and the Castro District, those people would have never worn a bomber jacket 5 years ago.
Right. Now, I just want to get back to the point I was making about comparing diabetes and homosexuality. So with type 1 diabetes, there are kids who are born like that, and you might want to do adaptations for them. There might be summer camps where they can go, and the camp counselors are all going to be aware that they need to take their insulin and measure their blood sugar and things like that. But you would never want to celebrate diabetes. You wouldn't want to promote it. You wouldn't want to call it an alternative lifestyle, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have coming out parties for homosexuals. You don't have diagnosis parties for diabetics. So,
and you sure wouldn't want the Boy Scouts having a camp counselor that purposely gives your kids diabetes.
Right,
either.
Right. You know, if somebody has diabetes, it's like, well, that's a misfortune. You don't have to ostracize them necessarily, you know, and you want to make certain adaptations. But the last thing you want to do is promote diabetes. And to the extent you can avoid type 2 diabetes, you should avoid type 2 diabetes. So to the extent you're going to have public awareness, you want to have the public awareness in a way that you're going to minimize type 2 diabetes, not maximize it. And by celebrating type 1 diabetes as a neat alternative because you get to carry around high-tech instruments and things like that, that would be promoting type 2 diabetes, and you don't want to do that. So I can understand efforts to help type 1 homosexuals make the most of their life,
right,
with the understanding that it's a misfortune. It's a shame. It's a misfortune that they didn't develop their sexual identity properly, and it very well may have to do with some sort of trauma that the mother had while they were in the womb or something like that. There are reasons why it may be. And so you might want to have understanding, have certain, you know, adaptations or help them live their lives in the way that most mimics a, and I'm going to say it, normal life.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The last thing you want to do is promote it. And there are people who are more impressionable, and there are people who may, these alphabet people, LGB, whatever, these alphabet people, one of the letters is B, and B is bisexual. Why should anybody be bisexual? If they have attraction to the opposite sex, that's what they should do. They should have attraction to the opposite sex. We don't want promiscuity. We don't want people in open marriages. And so the same way, if they can go either way, then they should go the opposite way.
Well, people that identify as bisexual tend to be disproportionately college-aged women that are bisexual when they're at a frat party and want people to look at them. Mm-hmm. And that whole bisexual thing is just plain ridiculous, because it's very rare for men to identify as bisexuals. Now, there are examples. For example, Charlie Sheen is rumored to be a bisexual, and he's got AIDS, you mm-hmm. know, and he's a total degenerate, and he's the type of person that is a bisexual because he's willing to try everything once, mm-hmm. not because he's actually fully attracted to men. He's just a person that is so narcissistic and so out of control and on so many drugs that he's willing to do anything at once, and that includes an animal, that includes anything.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of mindset that goes into genuine sexual experimentation. It's people that are constantly looking for new thrills, mm-hmm. doesn't matter how they find them, because yeah. they're so full of themselves.
Well, try anything once is not a good idea. And one of the kids I grew up with, in the early 80s, he'd gone out to San Francisco, and he wasn't a gay kid. He wasn't. He wasn't in the least bit effeminate. But because it was a thing out there, he got involved in bisexuality, and next thing you know, he was dead from AIDS. And it was a real, real shame. He was a very smart kid, and he wasn't like that. That was the culture killing him.
Yeah, they say that crack or heroin or cocaine, and try it once and you'll die. That was the message from DARE and all the anti-drug groups. Well, what about faggotry? You try it once, you could die. If you're a male homosexual, you have sex without condoms with a strange man, you could get HIV right there and then, even today.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with all the drugs, hundreds of billions of dollars that have been spent in the last two decades over something that is largely a preventable disease, there are many diseases that kill way more people that are not preventable. This one is a complete lifestyle disease, and yet all this money, all these federal grants, all these private grants, all of them go towards subsidizing the homosexual lifestyle and its consequences. So the best way to avoid the many antibiotic-resistant forms of gonorrhea, the life-changing hepatitis C, the horrible, even today with all the medications, the horrible illness of HIV that, regardless of what treatment you take, is going to shave decades off your life.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is preventable. Simply do not have contact with a strange man's anus. Sexual contact. Don't do it. And if you're going to do it, wear a condom. That's it. And yet,
don't do it, but right, yeah. The condom, right. Too.
But here's the thing. They're so depraved, they can't even do that. And this is part of the problem. So with that, I'll just leave it at this Google Doodle is part of a greater cultural phenomenon that we have to start paying attention and mirroring. We have to reflect the Jew. Why? Because the vampire hates his own reflection. That's why we have to keep plugging away with our own memes, which are, hey, look at these Jews. They claim to be, quote, fellow whites. You know, you always see Jews on Twitter saying, hello, my fellow whites. Aren't we so privileged? Don't we deserve to die? You have to go up to that same Jew and say, you're not white, you're a Jew.
Yeah. And I wonder,
stop pretending. Stop shape-shifting.
Yeah. And I heard Richard Spencer being interviewed. He's recently been talking about Jews. And, of course, he's out in front of people. He's out in the open at big conferences. And it is a danger for him, and it's something he's new at. But he had been interviewed and was asked whether Jews had assimilated. And the answer is, no, you haven't assimilated. You know, even if you're going to the same schools, even if you look the same or whatever, you haven't assimilated because the agenda that you push is extremely hostile to whites. So how can you be assimilated to whites when you support policies and you support an agenda that is hostile to whites? And that's not assimilation.
Think of it from a point of view of a family. You see, as nationalists, or at least I speak for myself as a national socialist, I believe that the race is the family. The nation and the community is the Volksgemeinschaft, the front of the people. And think of it as you're part of a family. Let's say a family adopts you, and you assimilate to the family, and then you work day and night to destroy that family. Does that make any sense? Hell no. And so a lot of people, they get confused because the Jew is no longer the Shtetl Jew with the beard and the black coat. Now the Jew is literate. He's quite literate, in fact. Mm-hmm. The Jew is shaven. The Jew wears Western clothing. He talks like you, acts like you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
On the surface, but the soul is still the same hateful, bigoted, Bronze Age desert soul that once led to them exterminating many great Aryan peoples, the Persians, the Seleucids. This is the same Jew, and he's never going to change. His image might change. Well, under the Sultan in Turkey, the Jews that fled Spain, they would wear the traditional Turkish dress when they would walk into the Sultan's court and discuss their trade of white Balkan slaves. They used to steal Slavs and trade them to the Orient.
The Orient meaning the Turks,
the Near East. And so the Jew has remained the same Jew that was behind all of this, is the same Jew that is in Wall Street talking with an American accent, or rather a New York accent, talking to you about baseball and hot dogs and this and that. That might be the superfluous similarity. But the Jew remains the same. He uses his power for the same, to exterminate the white people.
Okay, so let's look at this one aspect of, you know, we've been talking about homosexuality and this Jewish role in promoting homosexuality among the Goyim. And, of course, there will be Jews who get caught up in homosexuality and who die from it. But if you look at very traditional Jewish cultures like the Orthodox, it's still very taboo. Whether or not it goes on, it's still taboo. But I want to tie this into Russia. I believe it was the summer of 2013. the Russian parliament passed a law that prohibited propaganda promoting homosexuality to children. And this was a big outrage in the Western Jewish press. It was a huge outrage. It was called anti-gay legislation. I remember Jon Stewart on The Daily Show sent Jason Williams, Samantha Bee's husband, Jason Jones, sent Jason Jones to Russia to interview people, and it was all, why are you so hostile to gays? Why do you hate gays? The Jewish media made this big deal out of this legislation. And in January 2014, that was the Sochi Olympics. So Sochi is a town, actually, it's not a very cold town. It wasn't a great place to have the Winter Olympics, but they held the Winter Olympics there, and the Jewish media tried to destroy the Sochi Olympics over this gay issue, and then that spun very directly into the overthrow of the Ukrainian government, a government that was actually reasonably pro-Western, but was trying to play off the Russians against the EU, see where it could get the better deal, and the Russians gave a better deal in terms of like economics and trade and aid. And that's when Victoria Nuland at the State Department led this overthrow of the government. But this is my segue into Russia. They did use this, when I say they, the Jews did use this anti-homosexual propaganda to children law as an avenue for creating a mass hysteria and hatred movement against Vladimir Putin and Russia. But you were mentioning that really that was maybe a tool that they were using, but the Jewish animosity towards President Putin goes back further, right?
Well, Vladimir Putin took power in the year 2000, okay? That's 17 years. Really, he was sort of nondescript at first. He was sort of playing the game, and then little by little, he started consolidating power away from the factions that were entrenched under Boris Yeltsin. You see, when the United States was able to basically propel Boris Yeltsin into power, you know, this was a disastrous government that followed the fall of the Soviet Union.
Disastrous.
What happened is
I'm not going to go into details about it, but if you look at my YouTube channel, I do have a YouTube, and I recommend everybody to take a look at that. What is behind the push for war with Russia? It's from October 16th, 2016. And it's only 20 minutes long. But please continue.
Yeah. I mean, to use a more anecdotal or lighthearted example, I would suggest people watch the Russian film Brother. It's Brat, Brother. And it's a gangster film portraying St. Petersburg in the 1990s, which was more or less a Wild West with Jewish mobsters going out and shooting people in the street and running rackets out in the open. You know, because what happened is that when the Soviet Union fell, the United States, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, they all mandated that the new Russian government, liberal capitalist government, privatize all of the state enterprises at fire sale prices. Mm-hmm. What happened? Well, there is a clique of Jews that specialized in black market trade in the Soviet Union. Now, of course, conservatives in the West, they look at the black marketeers and scammers that were undermining the Soviet economy, and they say, oh, well, they just loved freedom. They were freedom-loving, market-loving entrepreneurs. Well, it was about 18 or 20 Jews that ran these black market rackets, and when they started privatizing the state enterprises, they were the only ones with the cash to buy them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, well, and also, they had access to foreign capital from the likes of George Soros and other international Jewish bankers. And you had Americans from the Treasury Department, like Lawrence Summers and Peter Orszag, and then Harvard professors like Jeffrey Sachs, who were helping put together these local, you know, Jewish black marketeers with international capital. And meanwhile, the ruble had collapsed and had no value. So people had been issued these vouchers in order to buy shares in these privatized companies. But it was at the same time when people were starving or freezing. And so it was very easy for people, these black marketeers who had access to foreign capital, to get money, to borrow money if need be from overseas, and buy up all of these vouchers and then buy the state industries with the vouchers. And one last thing. The minister of privatization was Anatoly Chubais. and he himself was Jewish and became one of these Jewish oligarchs.
Yeah, the American presence, the new Russian government, was more or less a coup d'etat that put the Jewish people into power, because, you know, the Soviet Union by the 1960s and 70s had broken Jewish power within their country, ironically, since the Bolshevik Revolution was a purely Jewish endeavor. So what happened is that many Jews in the 70s, it was actually being discussed recently in regards to the refugee thing, the United States government made special exceptions for Russian Jews to have privilege to immigrate in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these Jews became wealthy in America, and some of them returned to Russia to
right.
buy stuff up and do all this and that.
Right. And
well,
look up the
long story short,
look
the
up
life
the...
expectancy of a Russian man fell 20 years between 1980 and 2000.
So look up the Jackson-Vanik Amendment if you're at home. That was passed in the early 1970s. Scoop Jackson, Senator Scoop Jackson, was the sponsor of it. By the way, Senator Scoop Jackson's office was staffed by the likes of Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz. The other famous neocons went through that office as well. And then look up the Lautenberg Amendment. There are two Lautenberg Amendments. Frank Lautenberg was a Jewish senator from New Jersey. One Lautenberg Amendment has to do with gun regulation, but the other was a system of preferences aimed mostly at Russian Jews.
Yeah, and where were the courts talking about religious tests then?
Right. And then in the year 2000, there was a law passed by Congress, and I forgot the name of it. It gave special religious preferences to Jews from Syria. So,
yeah, well, that's okay.
That's okay. And it was specific. It was spelled out. Jews. Syrians of Jewish nationality.
Well, there you have it. And these were the people that some of them later would return. Many of them are now the biggest anti-Russia hawks in America right now. So what happened was that when Putin took power, over the course of a decade, he slowly started eroding the power of these couple of dozen Jewish elites that controlled Russia. He started eroding their power. Some of them would wind up dead. Others, they wound up with polonium in their blood. And Putin started really revolutionizing Russian society in a very subtle and creeping form. The Jews finally noticed by the mid-2000s after, I think the breaking point was when the Russians intervened in Georgia after they tried a Soros color revolution there. Mm-hmm. And the Russian state intervened with the military and crushed it. And they weren't really expecting that. They didn't believe Russia was going to stand up to the United States and the international Jewry in such a fashion. And from then on, they've just been gaining more and more momentum.
Yeah.
And they've been defying. Now it's at a point in 2017 where the Russians are back in the seat of challenging Judeo-Anglo hegemony over the world. And that's a new balance of power where the United States, with Trump, is actually beginning to join Russia, like Trump talking about, or rather, his diplomat Rex Tillerson talking about how the United States no longer wants Assad out of power or won't prioritize it. The Russians are winning. And they're making the world better in the process, in my opinion.
They are making the world better. And you mentioned the this color revolution. And after the Soviet Union broke up, Georgia was one of the republics in the Soviet Union that was not cooperating with Gorbachev's efforts to create a new union. It was led by a very nationalistic man named Gamsa Khordia. He was promptly overthrown, and Gorbachev's former Foreign Minister Edward Shevardnadze, who had kind of betrayed Gorbachev towards the end, he wound up becoming the president of Georgia. And I guess he had what might have been kind of a corrupt government. But there was a Soros color revolution, the Rose Revolution, 2004, and Mikhail Saakashvili became the president on the backs of these crowds who had been kind of bribed and paid to storm into parliament and take things over. And they were all holding roses. And Saakashvili was somebody who was basically a protege of John McCain. And from the time that the Soviet Union broke up, there were a couple of areas that were in the Republic of Georgia but were not ethnically Georgian that did not want to be under Georgian rule. And so they had either de facto independence or de facto Russian rule. They were de facto Russian protectorates for 15 years, 18 years. And when Saakashvili, with the prompting of the Jews in the State Department and McCain and people like that, when he tried to roll his tanks into South Ossetia, the Russians kicked him out. And that was during the 2008 Olympics, as I recall. So there was Putin just not rolling over. And, of course, you had kind of a rerun of this to an extent in Ukraine.
Yeah, that was a big problem for W. Bush at the time. I remember that they were criticizing him for not doing anything, but he was caught with his pants down. He really wasn't expecting Putin to stand up to Zion in South Ossetia. And that whole thing with the color revolution, you know, that stuff was very popular in the former Eastern Bloc countries, but for the most part, those revolutions fizzled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I just want to interject for a second. Saakashvili, when he was president of Georgia, he had Israelis in his cabinet. I think his defense minister might have been an Israeli. And then when he was later on overthrown and chased out of the country, what does he do? He winds up in Ukraine, and he's currently governor of the province, I believe, Odessa. I think he's the governor of Odessa, and he was trying to become the prime minister of Ukraine.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, just as the Jews have no nationality and will go from country to country, they'll send their puppets here and there also.
Yeah, they rely on this small network of sycophants to try and do all this work for them, but the popular support for this kind of stuff is dwindling.
Mm.
In the Ukraine, they were able to sort of get some support in their coup d'etat because of ethnic tension and national chauvinism that they've been building up there. You know, the Jews are not above creating ethnic chauvinism through faux nationalism, as is happening in Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania. I mean, the World Jewish Congress, I wrote about this on Daily Stormy the other day. Now, don't get me wrong, I honor the great heroes of the Second World War, of the Waffen-SS. Those were our guys. They were fighting for us. But with that said, when the World Jewish Congress is very nuanced about it, they were saying, oh, a lot of these guys, they were just fighting because they feared the Soviet Union. They weren't. I mean, when have you heard a Jew talk like that about the Waffen-SS?
Mm-hmm.
Without an agenda? You know, and that's because they want to, in these Baltic countries, they want to stoke chauvinism, jingoism, Russophobia,
mm-hmm.
in order to get the public ready for a confrontation and keep them primed for supporting their machinations, you know? I mean, how could a Latvian nationalist tolerate their country being a part of the European Union while at the same time talking about fearing Russia? You know, that it doesn't add up, because other countries in the Eastern Bloc or in the former Soviet republics like Armenia and others, they have had up and down relationships with Russia, and today they're members of that economic bloc, the CIS, and they
Commonwealth of Independent States, which was
right.
formed in the wake of the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Right, and they're doing just fine, and the Russians have more respect. I mean, look at it objectively. When you're in an alliance with Russia, the only real thing they ask of you is to not ally with the United States. Those are their only terms. Because compare Russia's allies. They're very diverse. They have North Korea, which is some kind of Korean nationalist / communist / whatever. You know, it's a country with a very unique political structure. And they're Russian allies. Then you have Iran, which is an Islamic republic. And they're Russian allies. You have Belarus, which is a sort of third positionist or mixed with ex-communists and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
They're Russian allies as well. So the Russians don't really demand that you take up their ideology.
Right.
They just demand that you not help America in its quest to impose the Jewish ideology.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want from you. They'll give you weapons. You know, and also you have Venezuela, which is considered part of the left. It's a
Venezuela,
left.
Yeah.
They're Russian allies, too. The Russians send them airplanes, and they send them missiles, and they send them this and that. The Venezuelans send them oil. Everyone's happy. That's how world politics should be. It shouldn't be like this American policy where every time someone says, hey, hold on with the faggot stuff, you get the American ambassador saying, oh, you're violating your side of the agreement. We're going to cut your funds and we're going to stop sending you arms, because any country that doesn't promote homosexuality is not democratic. You know, the right. Russians don't do that.
So there's this vilification of Russia, vilification of President Putin in particular. And, you know, during the first Cold War, there may have been vilification of the Soviet Union, but never of its leaders. When after Stalin was dead, people might have realized that he had been kind of a monster, but not really while he was alive. And but that was, you know, Stalin wasn't really Cold War. The Cold War is really, for the most part, after he died. And Khrushchev wasn't vilified. Brezhnev wasn't vilified. But Putin is vilified. And so I was very surprised yesterday to turn on CNN. It was Aaron Burnett out front, and they were talking about bombs, hard drive bombs in computers.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
And it was the first time in months I had turned on CNN and they weren't talking about Donald Trump. Because usually it's just moaning and groaning about how outrageous Donald Trump is, and in particular, Russian connections. So first of all, I ask, Russia has their own national interests. President Putin pursues Russian national interests. But is there any reason to be afraid of Russia?
Well, if you're a Jew looking to make world domination into a reality, there is.
How about if you are a regular white American or black American, is there any reason why having somebody who is now in the American government, having ever talked to the Russian ambassador or been to Russia, is there any reason why that should be a concern?
Well, I mean, obviously this Russia crap isn't sticking. I don't care what the polls say. If you ask a person on the street that isn't a Democratic Party activist, because even their casual voters and supporters don't care. I mean, you think the average black person stays up at night saying, oh, did the Russians help Trump? Did they hack the election? You know, they're not. No one cares. No one cares. And I don't understand why the Democrats are making hay out of this, because it's not helping them with the people they need as constituents or voters. And it's not helping them with their base either. So I think this is more or less the Democrats, or should I say the Jews, which is who they really are, Adam Schiff and all those people. This is more or less them doing a power play. They're going to try and overthrow Trump with all of this inference and fake news and support from the deep state and try and get him impeached in that form, using this Russia stuff as the reason for it. But I think they're, despite their public image, they're growing frustrated at the fact that it's not sticking. Because, you know, 10 years ago, before the internet, when all you had was the New York Times and CNN, something like this might have stuck in the public conscious. And it's not sticking this time, and they're really angry about it. So they're going to keep plugging away at it until they get enough Americans to support an impeachment of Donald Trump.
Well, right, and that's the strategy. And maybe it's not sticking. I tend to agree with you. But here's a question. Has it been successful in distracting away from this bigger issue? Because what was in these emails that perhaps plausibly the Russians might have had a role in hacking, although there's no credible evidence that they did. But let's just say, for instance, that they had a role in hacking into the DNC's emails. But what was in the emails? I mean, Hillary Clinton acknowledging that this biggest ever in the history of humanity sale of weaponry to Saudi Arabia, that the Saudis were using those weapons to send to ISIS. And she acknowledged this in an email. So a lot of the content of the email that is extremely scandalous has not been talked about because there's so much focus on who hacked the email rather than on the content. So is it at least having that effect?
I don't think so. I think that smart people, even on the left, you know, you have Glenn Greenwald, who he's actually a Jew himself, but yes. I have to give him credit. He's a decent journalist. I don't agree with anything he believes, but he's a good journalist, and he has basically staked out his opinion that, you know, what the Democrats are doing with this Russia stuff is incredibly stupid.
Right. I give him credit for that.
So, there's all types of people on both sides. I think Michael Tracy, he's another leftist that is really skeptical about this and really digging into the Democrats, saying that they're burying themselves with this stupid crap that no one cares about. And, I don't think it's having the effect because the goyim know. The goyim know. They can talk to each other about it. They say, hey, have you seen the WikiLeaks? You know, they, to his credit, I never liked Sean Hannity, but he was covering them fairly in depth. And too many people saw too many things, and now it's too late to lie and obfuscate. So, this whole thing about, oh, is Guccifer, is the guy who guessed John Podesta's password a Russian, is he this and that? No one really cares, because no one's denying the factuality of the emails themselves. Everyone knows they're legitimate, authentic, and they show the mass corruption in the U.S. government, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, thank you very much, Eric Stryker.
So that was a good talk, Dr. Slattery. Hope to do it again.
Likewise. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. And you can check out Eric Stryker, you write so frequently for Daily Stormer. Pretty much every day or every week you've got multiple articles, and some are very in-depth, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
And you write on a big range of subjects, so very, very vital part of the Daily Stormer, which has become a really important news source because it's...
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.